No doubt, with all the supply chain headaches and some product shortages with both glyphosate and glufosinate and some other products out there as well, there's some challenges. First of all, if we kind of step back, where are we as we look at product availability? What's the status today?
Yeah, Don, I would say that this year is a year like none other, I think, in recent memory for many, many people, for manufacturing crop protection, but I wouldn't say it's limited to that either. If we think about a number of things that you want to go out and buy today, I'm guessing you might not be able to get exactly what you're looking for in terms of the size, the color, the model, the price point, et cetera. I think BASF is not immune to those same challenges. And that's because it's a really complex scenario, the complex environment that we're living in with global supply chains that have been stressed in a number of ways. So I think that's the backdrop of the challenge, Don.
Maybe what's one thing unusual is you guys are being very proactive. The media alert, I really appreciate that. Could you provide some perspective on the plan of attack? What is the company looking at to address this challenge?
Yes, and I appreciate you acknowledging that the proactive piece of it, Don. I would say two things come to mind as a backdrop: being proactive and being transparent. And that's been a core to the BASF approach this year. I mean, we took feedback from a number of our customers, both at the retail distribution level, but also at the farmer, grower, rancher level, who said, be upfront with us. Let us know. Let's plan together up front. And that's exactly the approach that we have taken here for the 22 season. Knowing that we have all those issues to deal with that we just mentioned around the global supply chain, we've been very proactive in working with our channel partners to say, what product do you need by when? Which volumes are you expecting? And let's really look at the full portfolio availability so that we're not just over depending on one chemistry or one product sector. So a lot of transparency, a lot of pre-planning has gone into position. I would call that on the, let me call that on the demand side, Don. If we think about the supply side, so what are we doing to better supply? I mean, there's a number of issues that we listed in that press release, talking about increasing our production, adding additional production facilities, formulation capabilities, expediting freight, planning ahead with our own suppliers. Because keep in mind, this is a topic that's broader than just what BASF manufactures. We're also dependent on other material providers, people, paper labels, trucking, steel, et cetera. So I think it's both supply and demand side. We've been very proactive on the planning and very proactive on the demand forecast.
I found it interesting, even employing, some 300 airplanes to help transport goods. That has to be a new attack here.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever done that before, Don. That is new. And I think that goes to the strength of having a strong supply planning and supply chain experts inside BASF, where we really look to basically open up every backlog we have, find a solution on every block that we run into, because we're very much, many of these things have nothing to do with BASF. It's the people that BASF does business to. So pulling out all the stops to use 300 planes to move things around faster inside of our domestic formulation has been one of the things we've never done before, but something we wanted to do to really try to alleviate this challenge.
You talk about adding a formulation production site should be online this spring. Where will that be, and will that be in time to help for this growing season?
Well, I won't go into details. I don't think we're ready to talk details about where it's going to be or the actual volume increases yet. That's something that's still being worked out. I think it will not make an impact, unfortunately, for 22. I think we will have things identified. We will have production perhaps even by spring, but the chance for it to actually make an impact on the 22 growing season, I think, would be very optimistic. So I don't want to be over promising there. But we're working with a number of supply partners on production availability locations where we would hopefully be able to just give us a little bit more freedom to operate on formulation. We know that the demand for glufosinate is going to continue to rise. So having more options, more levers, so to say, to be able to move things around and get increased capacity is basically what we're driving towards.
Totally understand that. with this year, we saw so many of our growers wanting to take possession of that product as soon as they could. They're being very active purchasing early and booking early. Do you think this is a one-time situation, or are we changing buying habits because of this current situation?
A lot of thought has gone into that. A lot of debate has gone into that. I think in the tables that I sit at and customers that I talk with, and I think there are a lot of opinions on that topic, Don. I think that farmers don't don't have a short memory, so they will certainly remember what has happened here this season. And I think there will be certain behaviors that will stick, are likely to stick, and particularly on certain product groups. But I think it's too early to say that what we've gone through in the 21 season and what we're going to continue to go through in the 22 season will completely change buying behaviors. I think it will open up some new avenues. I think it will open up a new awareness around planning. And certainly the more progressive farmers, progressive retailers and distributors are going to want to use this as an option to be better in case they get hit with this for the future. But I don't think it's going to completely change the industry, because the reality is at a certain point in time, and I don't know when it is, I mean, that might be one of your questions, when does this thing get better? At a certain point in time, the demand and supply is going to correct itself for some of these key products. I think the pandemic-related issues, which are a big part of this, will also stabilize. So then, you know, would someone completely change an entire manufacturing and buying behaviors because of this long term? I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced that that will be the case.
You kind of jumped right into that. Is this a situation that's going to extend into 23?
I hope not. I mean, I think there's a lot of experts that have been asked that question, and I do need to. I should have said this earlier. I think you know that from you and I have met before a couple times, Don. I'm not a manufacturing expert. I'm a marketing and salesperson. But the people that I talk to, the articles I read, and the experts that we talk with, most of them see a improvement in this scenario going into 23. So and what that means is I think for the 22 season, we will battle this challenge all the way through the full season. I think there will be improvement in 23. Will it be completely alleviated? I can't say. I don't know. I think it goes back to how we started this conversation. It is so dependent on a number of variables that are just simply out of our control. If we think about labor availability, I mean, that's something that no manufacturer can solve. We think about the pandemic impacts. Who knows what will happen further, pandemic supply chain related issues in 23. So can I be confident that that's going to go away? No, I don't think I can be. And if I think about, you know, the natural disasters that played a role in this, if we think about the floods, we think in Germany as one example, if we think about the Gulf Coast hurricane impacts, if we think about the hurricanes in Texas, all of those contributed to what we're facing right now. And I think many of those will be a factor for the future. But the hope is, and the experts believe, that the likelihood of all of those things happening at the same time, the same level as they did here in 22 season is probably not likely. So I think it will certainly be improved. And with some of the things we've mentioned here, I think that's going to help us manage it as well. I'd love to say it's going to be done in 23, but I'm not so confident to say that just yet.
Everybody's got a role in the supply chain here, including the grower and the ag retailers. Are there things that they can do to ease the situation somewhat?
Absolutely, and thank you for that question, because it does take all of us. This is not just a manufacturer that has to help solve this issue. There's very much recommendations that we would like to see, and that we already see from key retail channel partners as well as growers. And it really comes down to planning. This is the year where planning is more important than ever. I think growers need to make sure they're working with their trusted advisor, their trusted retail partner, really thinking through what are their crop plans and what are the products of choice that they need to produce effectively their crop in that plan, and then having a plan B as well. I think this is the time to be smart with plan A and plan B. This is where working with the BASF, a manufacturer like BASF, who has a very broad portfolio and not dependent only on one chemistry, puts us in a unique position because we have options. And the earlier that we plan those options together, with the retail partners and the farmer grower, I think we will certainly have a better ability to manage some of these challenges. The second thing that comes to mind is really around challenging some of the status quo. And what I mean, let's look at herbicides, Don. I mean, this is the year we need people to be very consequent in their choices around effective pre-emergent and residual chemistries. A plan on one chemistry is not a good one. It's never been a good one, frankly, from a weed resistance perspective. But this year, if that product's not available, you're in big trouble. So using really an effective pre-emergent chemistry with good residual is going to help navigate some of that uncertainty. And then we've also been very vocal about asking for growers to think about cultural practices that are different. So, I mean, Operation Weed Eradication is an initiative that BASF has been supporting and leading for a couple of years now, even before these supply issues came up, where we really challenge growers to think about using the right products at the right timing and doing things that will really set you up for success. And that's going to be really important in the case of products perhaps being short. That's on the grower side. I think on the retailer side, this is all about planning as well. I think retailers working with their BASF representative to think about the products they need and when they need them and being really specific about that. This is not the time of year to depend on extra slack in the system, so to say, because there's just not going to be that. So it's really about transparent planning, both at retail and grower level.
That conversation about a pre and utilizing residuals makes sense from an agronomic standpoint, but it really has to hit home from a practical standpoint this year just because of product availability, I would guess.
It does. That's right. I mean, there's and there's a number of great products out there, I think, that are in plenty of availability for growers to be talking with the retailers about. And that's where that whole Plan B comes into my comment as well. You know, if you've been used to using one product all along here, and that's the one that you think is the best, this is the time where you really need to seek out the advice, you know, through your agronomic advisors, through your BASF representative, through your retailer agronomist, to really talk through, am I using the most modern pre-emergent herbicide? Am I using the best product that's available? And if that's not, what is the second best or an alternative? And this is where, again, working with a company like BASF that has a broad portfolio with a number of those products really set you up for a chance to be successful and not having, you know, to be overly dependent on just one.
I'm guessing there would be, but are allocations in place to kind of control the supply as it gets out there?
So BASF has supply plans that are in place, that's true, for a number of products. Again, this goes back to what we discussed a bit earlier around the transparency. So we wanted to come early and just be upfront with our distribution and retail partners to say, these are the product volumes that will be available and by which timing, to the best of our ability, so that they have plenty of time to plan appropriately for the BASF products and then, of course, other products that they may support from other manufacturers. So I think I want to make a distinction here, though, Don. Just because a product is on a supply plan doesn't mean that it will be short, doesn't mean that it's going to be less than that. Much of that is around our stated intention about being transparent and being really clear about the planning. So if we make sure we have the supply plans in place, we don't have to worry about, we have less worries, rather, I would say, products ending up in the wrong places or the wrong regions or the wrong parts of the country just because sometimes they're not moved around the most efficiently. So that's why we do use a supply plan process with many of our products this season.
Have you heard of any situations of hoarding taking place?
I have not heard of any situations of hoarding that's been based in any fact. I've certainly heard of people being concerned of that. And, you know, I often think about examples outside of crop protection. I mean, if we go back to the middle of the pandemic, there were many paper products, whether it be toilet paper, paper towels, paper whatever, where we saw a lot of hoarding and things like that. I have not seen that or have any proof of that in crop protection, but I think people remember that, and so people do worry that that could happen. And I think that's where supply plans help. I mean, supply plans are really clear volume based on very fair, equitable calculations as to which volumes, you know, product, which volume of the product in which region and which customers and so on that will have access to it to get in front of this potential hoarding that you just referenced.
Great. You've been very generous with your time. Is there any Any final thoughts you want to make sure you leave our listeners with?
I think what I'd like to say to the listeners is, you know, BASF is committed to bringing the best innovations to the market. BASF is committed to the long-term success of both our channel partners and grower farmers. And even though today may seem challenging because of supply plans, I think there will be enough product to meet needs in most cases, but it will take time to plan and to prepare and to really work together for the best outcome.